Welcome to Vibe with Edmond Oris.
So yeah, guys, you're welcome to another episode of the Vibe with Edmond Oris podcast. I'm your host and I'm still the coolest boy in the world, Edmond Oris. So I'm super excited, guys. I'm super excited. It's the first day of November 2021. It's the first episode in November. We're going to have many more episodes. And it's also, I'm alive. If you're listening, you're alive. So I'm happy for you. I'm happy for myself because being alive is a gift, guys. So let's practice gratitude. Gratitude this month. The year is coming to an end. So this episode is proudly sponsored by Reps Apparel. Reps Apparel on Instagram at @Reps_Apparel or Reps Apparel on Twitter. You guys can check them out. They deal on football matches for the different clubs. If you're a Chelsea fan, you're an Arsenal fan, you're a Man City fan, you're a Liverpool fan, you're a Real Madrid fan, you're a Barcelona fan, you can get your club's merch from them. And they're actually really, really beautiful, beautiful designs. They have the best designs. And I love them because they keep topping themselves every week. You get to, you know that they're always going to be updating. And if you're a Ronaldo fan too, they have matches for Ronaldo the GOAT. If you're a Messi fan, they have matches for Ronaldo. So you guys should check them out. I'll also drop the direct link to their Instagram and Twitter page. It's just one click away from the podcast description. So guys, I named this episode Ronaldo Saves Ole as Koeman-less Barcelona Struggle, because really that was the highlight of this weekend. Ronaldo saved his old teammates with a goal and an assist, and Koeman has been sacked by Barcelona, but they are still struggling with Drew. So I got a Barcelona fan, my president Joshua Obeku, to come and analyze what's happened, what went wrong for Barcelona, what the future holds with Xavi coming in. And I also got an Arsenal fan too, because Arsenal, I've not really brought an Arsenal fan in the podcast for a while, but Arsenal lost their first three games and they're pulling up again. They're coming back. So their recent resurgence, I brought an Arsenal fan to come and explain what's happening to us. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I know you will. It's good conversation. It's honest conversation. And if you're listening, don't forget to tweet at me. Tell me what you think. Oh, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. This is what I want to hear. This is what I don't want to hear. I'm just here to serve you guys, actually. So anything you want, you can always tell me. And I'll see you guys at the end. Special announcement, guys. I now have a Paystack link for anybody that likes the content and likes what I'm doing here and wants to support me. It's on podcast description. You can check. You can donate to me anonymously. It will help. Supporting will help the podcast. Or you can check it. I'm going to put it on my Linktree profile. So my Linktree profile is on my Instagram page, my bio, or my Twitter bio. You see, they support this podcast. With anything you have, nothing is too small to push the ministry forward. So yeah, guys, I'll see you guys at the end. Don't forget to share the podcast. If you are listening and you like it, send to your groups, your football groups. They need to be listening. This is the number one football podcast in Nigeria. Yes, we're number one in Ghana too. Uganda. And when so many other different countries, so like it's good content. A lot of people are consuming it. So don't allow your friends to be left out. And big shout out to my AudioMac listeners. You guys made me hit. We've hit 2,000 plays on AudioMac since we started in May. It's crazy. So big shout out to everybody that is listening on AudioMac and all the other different platforms. God bless you guys. So let me allow you guys to enjoy it. I'll see you guys at the end. Man, Toby Loba, good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, good
afternoon. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm doing great.
All right. And I have with me my president, my Barcelona president. If you guys are just missing him for the first time, he has been on one episode before. I think I named that episode Thank You, Messi. The episode where after it was announced that Messi was leaving Barcelona for PSG, I got Bex, my president, and Mesita, and we did an episode. We named that one Thank You, Messi. So if you have not listened to that one, go and listen to it. It's one of the best episodes I've ever made. So I have Bex here in flesh, even though I can't physically see him, but I have him in flesh, and he's going to give me his opinion on everything that is happening with Barcelona, from Koeman to the players to Xavi incoming. Yeah, so Bex, how are you doing?
Man, I'm great. Honestly, I'm great. And I'm happy to be here. I'm happy, you know.
It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah.
All right, but let's get straight into the action. I want us to start, first of all, from the Premier League. And I got an Arsenal fan here, guys, because Arsenal started the season very bad. They lost their first three games. They were shambolic. I think -9 goal difference at a point. There was talks about them going on getting relegated. So I think, but now they are on a 9-game unbeaten run. I think they are level with points with Man United and just 3 points behind Man City.
you get, and their goalkeeper Ramsdale is doing a lot of marvelous things for them. And so I brought an Arsenal fan to come and explain to us what has happened with Arsenal. So Toby Lover, please explain what's happening with Arsenal.
Okay, yeah, like I said yesterday, in the Twitter, I told you that the first three games, a lot of things, you know, happened, you know, which to losses in the first three games. For example, the first game, we were without about 6 to 7 players. A lot of players and couldn't play that first game. The first game was against Brentford.
Score their names.
I think Aubameyang was out. Lacazette was out. Gabriel was out. I can't even remember. I don't think Xhaka was also out. These are indispensable players for us now. Do you get?
Yeah.
And also, yes, these players were out. And of course, it was the first game playing against a team like Brentford, a very tricky side like Brentford. I watched Brentford last season during their playoffs. And honestly, I said this team will come here to cause trouble. You understand? And of course, they've really stayed strong against the big sides, against...
They're a difficult side to play.
Exactly. They're a very tricky side. So the first three games for us, some of our players, our indispensable players were not... some of them were injured, some of them got COVID. And, you know, it was... Of course, you know, these things affect a club, you understand? So it was a difference for us in the first three games. And, you know, after then, we got some of them back. Xhaka was present and he got injured again. But thanks to the fact that, you know, we have a very great squad depth and all of that. So I think for now,
because I got an Arsenal fan for the transfer. I did an episode where I got different club fans to talk about their club's transfer window, and the Arsenal fan was not really happy with the way people did business. So it's interesting here. You guys have an interesting squad. The other thing I wanted to ask, I know you guys played Man City among those three games. So it was Brentford, Man City. Was it Liverpool, the third game?
No, we've not played Liverpool.
Okay, so what? Lost at the beginning of the season.
I'm trying to remember. I can't even remember. I have problem with details now. Brentford,
okay.
Manchester City. I can't remember the other game. I can't remember the
okay. Other. Okay, but go on. So you are saying the return of these players has caused a lot of things to change.
Yes, and also the fact that Arteta could actually come up with a very defensive. I said it in the space yesterday. Come up with a very great defensive partnership of Ben White and Gabriel, and which has games we've had 6 clean sheets. Ramsdale also, thanks to Ramsdale, his effort has really been really really. Understand. So I think that's really helping us. And you know, you mentioned something about our transfer business. I think just for
anybody listening, the third game was Chelsea. Lukaku scored. I think that was the
third game was Chelsea. In fact, it was a shambolic performance.
Okay.
It was really shambolic. So after then, you know, we are now on a run, a 9-game unbeaten run, which is really impressive for a team like Arsenal, considering the fact
that's because he made the save of the season. Yes, it was ridiculous yesterday against Leicester.
It was absolutely. In fact, Peter Schmeichel had to, you know, tweet that that's the best save he has seen from a goalkeeper in recent times. You understand?
I think he's reaching a lot of good saves, but that was very good. I watched. I think it was a freaking.
That was a very good save. That was a very good save. And for a goalkeeper who, you know, arrived from a very poor team like Sheffield United. Yes, and you know, according to records, he has been relegated twice with 2 different clubs. Now, for a goalkeeper, you know, arriving from such a club to come and even put up a very amazing performance in a club like Arsenal says a lot about the goal. Says a lot about the guy. He really came in and he has really, you know, proved doubters wrong. I was one of the, you know, guys that said, oh, Ramsdale is not, you know, a goodbye for Arsenal, and he has proved me wrong. And he's proving a lot of critics wrong too. So I think he has come to stay. He has cemented the spot as a number one goalkeeper for many years to come. Leno, a very great goalkeeper, top guy. No disrespect to him, but I think it's just right. It's just the right time for him to just move elsewhere, because Ramsdale has come to stay as a number one goalkeeper.
All right. I want Arsenal. But I just want to ask you this last question on Arsenal, because we've seen this season that Chelsea are very good. They are not conceding goals. Liverpool are very good. Despite their, I don't even know what to, I think it's a blip, because they went two goals up, and then Brighton came back to draw 2-2. Man City, despite their loss, I think Crystal Palace always beat them at home. I think those three teams are always going to be in and around fighting for the title. So what's the realistic target, or what target are you setting for Arsenal this season?
Well, I said in the space yesterday that for me, I don't think there's anything spectacular yet about this Arsenal team, but I just want this team the top six so that we can play European football next season, because it doesn't make any sense for me as an Arsenal fan to just watch Premier League football, then midweek I just go and watch other teams. It doesn't make any sense for me. So I'm expecting Arsenal to finish in the top six, which is, you know, the first realistic thing for Arsenal. I'm not saying they cannot win trophies, I'm not saying they cannot end up in the top four, but for now, I think the only thing I'm expecting right now is that Arsenal should end up in the top six, which is, you know, a direct qualification for European football.
Okay. We'll be keeping an eye on that. But let's move on to from another team. Before we start recording, I asked people on Twitter to ask any question that they would like us to answer. So someone asked this question, and this is the next one I want to ask Chelsea now, Bex. They say, how do you stop Chelsea?
The thing is, Chelsea, they're very united. They play very united football. So trying to stop Chelsea is a bit not difficult, but I think is you have to play well too, because defensively they are very smart. Like if you watch Chelsea, like if you are actually following Chelsea, you see that defensively they are very organized. And any team in Europe, once you are organized defensively, it's really hard. You remember Atletico back in the days, how
good they were defensively.
You understand? If you score a goal against Atletico, it's worth celebrating, right? So Chelsea now, Tuchel is a very good coach. We have to applaud him for what he has done for Chelsea. You know, stopping Chelsea, you have to play like Bayern. Bayern doesn't play one system football. Bayern, they approach you with everything in football. Bayern, they play every tactics. If Bayern want to play you, they play all the tactics they want to play, which means this is how we want to win. If we play this way, it doesn't work. We shift. So they kind of, you know, what Bayern does is they interchange tactics. If you want to beat Chelsea, that's what you need to do. Bayern
That made it to BT Sports, where Paul Scholes and I think it's Peter Crouch were discussing. I said that Bayern don't just beat you, they leave you psychologically broken. Exactly. Would you like Bayern and Chelsea though in the Champions League?
Of course, yeah. Every football fan is, you know, hoping to see a clash of titans, you know, like back in the days when you see Bayern, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern, Liverpool, you know, we are actually seeing a lot of, you know, giants going head to head. So, like, everybody wants to see Chelsea with Bayern. Like, let's test Bayern.
Yep. Do you think they're champions? Who is favorite in the Premier League this season, in your opinion, Bex?
Well, without being biased, I would always say if Chelsea maintain what this level of football, they are the favorite. Because look at this dude, Pep lost to Crystal Palace. Why Tuchel can actually escape with 1-0 tactically? So this is, I think, Tuchel is more organized. The last phase of last season, you could see so much organization from him and
so much improvement in a short time. It's crazy. Yeah. Which just makes me, it's making me question why PSG, because I asked the question yesterday on Twitter, why did PSG let him go? And I think someone replied and said he said he wasn't the coach at PSG, that it was just like Minister of Football. That it was, he had to manage the players, had to manage their family, had to manage their girlfriend. So he couldn't actually really coach this thing. But I want to come to the Arsenal fan now. Guy, did you see the City okay. game yesterday?
No, I didn't see the game yesterday, but okay. I saw the first goal. I watched the highlight of the first goal.
Okay.
What's this guy's name? Diaz.
Zaha.
Diaz made that
Laporte. Okay, let me analyze the City game, because I watched it. It was a shambolic performance from their defense. I think Laporte made a very big mistake that led to the first goal, and then he followed it up with a very needless red card on the stroke of halftime. You are losing 1-0 at home. There's no reason to panic. I think this is something that happens with footballers, when you just panic and just make some kind of very, very restless decision that they will now live to regret. Because when you go down to 10 men, it's hard. There are not many coaches that can get a result with 10 men. Pep can, but playing against this Crystal Palace under Patrick Vieira, they look like a very decent side. You played them, yes. So you know, you've played them. So you know that they are very decent size. So going down against them just makes the work almost times three times at a ball. We'll be watching City, Sha. Another thing I want to talk about, guy, Liverpool, Toby Loba. What are your thoughts on Liverpool this season? And Salah.
Well, I'm looking at the Liverpool that won the Premier League title about 2 years ago. Honestly, it's looking like, you know, they're going to repeat what they did in the year they won the league title, you understand, after so many years of winning. Of course, you can never take greatness away from Salah. It's been really, really amazing. I mean, Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp is one coach I really envy. He doesn't, you know, attract, you know, the so-called big players in Europe, and he comes up with amazing results, and you know, he wins trophies like that. And I always wonder why, you know, this guy is not like every other coach that always want to buy the big players out there. And you can see
I don't like that this whole, they have the most expensive, before they had the most expensive goalkeeper in the world before Chelsea beats the record with Kepa Arrizabalaga. One, they have, before Maguire beat it, they had Van Dijk is expensive.
Yeah, Van Dijk is expensive.
Barcelona buy a defender of 75 million now?
No way.
We can't. What I want to say is, let's see. As a manager, you need good players. And in 2021, in football, good players are expensive. Do you know what someone?
Yeah, yes. He bought
them Salah and the previous ones earlier. Decent. When you consider the amount of the return on investment they've gotten, it looks like a very cheap buy for Salah, Mane, and the likes, and Robertson and Trent. I think Trent's from their youth team. But you can't say that for Van Dijk. And if you take look at what happened with them to them without Van Dijk last season, they were shambolic. They barely scraped to qualify for the Champions League. So I don't like the idea that he doesn't buy. He buys. Everybody needs to buy.
My point is not that he doesn't buy players. My point is he doesn't, you know, go for the big players like other managers go for. That's what I'm saying. He buys players. Of course, Van Dijk was a very expensive buy. What's this guy's name? Alisson was a very expensive buy. Naby Keita was a very expensive buy. And other players like that. My point is he doesn't go out for these big players, you know, players like who Man City will go for, Manchester United and Real Madrid. That's my point. And I would say
which big player did Man City go for?
Of course, they wanted Harry Kane during the summer.
Okay.
They wanted Harry Kane during the summer. You understand? Real Madrid wanted Mbappe during the summer. we know these things. But Jurgen Klopp is not that kind of player who wants to buy, you know, these so-called big players out there. You understand? That's my point. Of course, in this modern era, you have to spend to win trophies.
Yes, that's just what I want to make clear.
Trophies. No, so that was not my point. I'm not saying that he doesn't buy players. Of course, he does. Hey, so that's my point. So I'm saying that for me, I would still tip Liverpool to win the Premier League. I think it's between Liverpool and Manchester City.
Give us, because we're going to come back to all these podcast episodes I have. I always ask all my guests to predict the top four. So predict the top four for us.
Okay, I think I'll go. It's going to be a very tough one, but I think I'll just go with Liverpool, Manchester City, Chelsea, and Manchester United.
Okay, since we're talking about Man United, this is on record. So, but since we're talking about Man United, Bex, yeah. Man United, Ole and Ronaldo, what are your thoughts on that?
I think Ole is not like a very good coach, right? But somehow, I don't know, he manages to play well against big clubs, right?
Okay.
To me, the squad looked, balanced. Honestly, like, without lies. And I believe a lot of people saw it this way too. The squad looked balanced and you were expecting, 5-0, 6-0, But somehow, Man United started struggling and all. So, Ole is an average coach in a big club. Everybody in the whole world can agree with me that he's just an average coach, given the opportunity to coach a club like Man United, And Ronaldo joining Man United, United have this style, this style of football. So it's obvious that it's going to suit Ronaldo's style of play, right? So when Ronaldo was moving there, I kind of saw that, well, it's going to, adapt easily. Now the question people are asking is, why are they struggling? Why so much inconsistency? It boils down to the coach. And that's why everyone is dragging Ole. Like, you have world-class players. You have Pogba, a very good midfielder. Why wobbling? Right? So to me, Ole is just average. And Ronaldo is, like I tweeted some other, like 2 days ago or so, the coach must understand that this is the role each player should play, regardless of how good or what they have achieved before. So a player like Ronaldo, give him the instruction that this is what you need to do. If you are the finisher, be the finisher. So that pundits won't be out there arguing that, Ronaldo does not contribute to the play. Ronaldo does not press. No, that you understand. So the coach needs to understand that this role belongs to Ronaldo. This role belongs to Pogba. This role belongs to Fernandez. But I think the problem, the current problem is unable to manage. Give them the role. Let them play. Be the striker. Be the finisher. Right?
Okay.
But Ronaldo being unable to track back and, be that team player, they have to bring Cavani. And that was why they won yesterday. There must be a workaholic up front. When we had BBC, MSN, one was a workaholic amongst the trios, right? Okay. Messi was dropping deep for MSN. Benzema was dropping deep for BBC.
Someone has to link it. Somebody has to.
Exactly. Someone must sacrifice. See, it's a sacrifice. Someone sacrifice to go back amongst the forwards. If they are playing 4-4-2, one of the forward must sacrifice. If they are playing 3-5-2, one must sacrifice. See, if they have just Ronaldo up front, it means the midfield must be compact, must be tight.
I think that was what he did yesterday, because he brought in Varane, which I think was very good for them, and then he pushed Luke Shaw and Wan-Bissaka to midfield. So it was like 3-5-2, and Cavani and Ronaldo flanking each other. So I want to go. I love the way you've this. I think you've spoken the truth on this situation. I want to go to Toby Lobba now.
Okay,
do you think today now, because City, in my mind, you go and play Atlanta in the Champions League away, and they go and play Man City. So were still, the verdict is still out on them. But do you think that they won because they were very good yesterday, or because Spurs were bad? Because Spurs are actually very bad. Everybody's beating them.
Well, for me, I think Spurs as a team, of course, are one of the most terrible teams this season. So the win against Tottenham yesterday wasn't really something spectacular, because of course, if you look at the run of form, I'm talking about Tottenham Hotspur, it's been a very terrible one. So the true test is going to be against Atlanta away from home, then against Manchester City next week Sunday.
All right.
We'll be keeping that one.
But Bex, I want us to come to our league now.
Yeah.
Real Madrid are doing very well with Akporo. Akporo is in devastating form. I want to give your thoughts on Akporo, but we have three. Real Madrid are first. I think Real Sociedad are next. There are three teams at the top of that table that are dragging the points in the league. So Real Madrid 24 points, Sevilla second, Real Sociedad third with 24 points. Barcelona is on 16 points, 8 points off already. So we're already in trouble. But I want you to analyze Barcelona. But before that, analyze Real Madrid this season. Their Clasico loss, yeah. Akporo, Ancelotti, and everything.
You know, Ancelotti is a former Real Madrid. He understands Real Madrid very well. And last season, Vinicius Junior wasn't really Vinicius Junior. You know, players are bound to improve. You know, depends on the system that makes them improve. Ancelotti has provided that. You know, being able to play in a tactics that makes you play well. Vinicius Junior is thriving because I feel he has the confidence of, like. Let me use an example. I'm sorry that I have to like stray away. Let me use an example.
No, express yourself. On my podcast, yeah. We express ourselves. We just express ourselves football-wise. On even the general episodes, you know that's what we do.
Like, there are some players that you remove them from club A to club B, they begin to do well. Or you remove them from club A to club B, they stop, you know? Things get what? Okay, let me use an example. Messi going to PSG. Messi will always be Messi. So let's assume Messi is just that normal player, right? Normal player, you can see that he's struggling, right? Now, Vinicius Junior under Ancelotti is thriving, probably because there's some personal discussion that must go on. The coach trusting the player. Look, you are the man. You can make it. You can give me what I want. The coach, right? And last season, he didn't do well compared to the, you know, like the expectation anyway. But this season, he has picked up, and I believe it boils down to how the coach is managing the player. I honestly give the credit to Ancelotti, obviously trusting him that, man, go and be the hero. You can do it. So, Real Madrid, they are really focused. Yeah, I'm not surprised because they mix. When they are transitioning, it's always mixed. They don't just take out all the old players and bring young players, no.
Bro, they're a properly managed club. I love the way they're transitioning from Ronaldo to Ramos. They've replaced them
What they do is they are managing the players. Like, you don't take out everybody. The important players, let's still have them. We build, you know, gradually. They transition so gradually, and it's nice, unlike us, which of course, I will get to us.
All right, so let's talk about Barcelona now. During the last time I was on this podcast, Koeman was not sacked yet. You get, yeah. I think I think he was sacked on Monday. He was sacked midweek, sorry, because I published every Monday. I think he was sacked on Tuesday or Wednesday. So during the week, I said, boss, come, let's talk about Koeman. So I know that you were a very strong advocate against Koeman coming in. You're very vocal about it. You're very vocal about it. Yeah. Personally, I also did not think he was good for the job. I also did not think he was good for the job. But once you are employed, I think the job of every supporter is to support you up until you are showing that you are no longer worth supporting. I think so. That's where I withdrew my support. So I've been saying this since, just the way you've talked about how Ancelotti gives the players confidence. That's how he has given Vinicius. Vinicius has always been a good player, but he was a terrible finisher. He will always rush his finish. He can dribble the whole field, get to the goalkeeper and play it over. So Koeman wasn't doing that to our players, and he had this personal sentiment where he was not giving players fair chances, like the Puig situation. So how did it feel seeing Koeman leave?
Honestly, I was happy. I'm really happy that he left, because you don't succeed with that kind of attitude in a big club like Barcelona. The attitude is bad. The attitude is bad, honestly. And you know, I made so much enemy. Like, I made so many enemies just because of Koeman, and it was unnecessary for them to just see me as the enemy. From day one, I looked at the record that Koeman had, and I said to myself, this man is coming to coach Barcelona. This is a big club with big names. Can this man cope? From the very beginning, just like you said, it's expected for us to, like, you know, give him our support and all that. I remember that I made my tweet about, you know, we are behind you and all that. But if you are, even Xavi, even if deliver, people will pounce on him.
And rightly so.
No coach is redeemable. No coach has bulletproof to criticism, right?
Yep.
Koeman was giving Barcelona low-level football. We had Messi last season, and it was obvious that Messi was covering up. Listen, Messi has covered up for a lot of nonsense. A lot. Performance is... See, we'd be struggling from nowhere. He scores a free kick.
I said it on the space yesterday when Toby Lobba were talking, remember?
Yeah.
I said that Messi in our team yesterday, we win that game. He will score one outrageous free kick, 2-1, we've won. Messi against the previous... Messi covered too many things in that club, to be honest. He covered... Mm-hmm. We did not deserve to win. And Messi individually, his individual brilliance will just come and pop up and help us win. And then the coach was saving his job. So, no Messi now. See how many games he has taken him to be exposed.
Exactly. Now I'm telling people that, listen, and a lot of fans that were supporting Koeman started turning against Messi. They're now turning against Messi like Messi is the enemy. This is reality. I love what is happening now, because Messi is out of Barcelona. Our eyes don't clear. It's obvious that this guy was contributing to so much. Now he's gone. We are struggling. No scorer. You see? We don't have a scorer. We don't.
See, no. Begs, we can stay here and we can lament about Barcelona all day, but I want us to move forward now. Yeah. The interim manager came in and I think works are on the way to get Xavi. So what are your thoughts on Xavi? Let me say my own thoughts on Xavi for the record, because I love my podcast because it gives me a place to come back to to say, oh guys, I said this, you said this. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is what I think on Xavi. I think that he will get the respect of the dressing room, which is very important for a coach. You get. Mm-hmm. I think that Pochettino is struggling to get the backings of the dressing room at PSG. That's why they are struggling. I think that Ole is just winging. Koeman never got it, and as a coach, you need to have the respect of your players, so that when you tell them that this is how we're going to play, this is the tactics we're going to use, this is what we're going to do, they are going to believe in that, to go there to do it. So I think that Xavi has that on his side. I think that we also have a little bit of patience compared to if we Barcelona legend. But mm-hmm. I'm scared because I have nowhere to tap. As a fan, I can't go and count on his time in Saudi Arabia, because I think that quality of football is not the same as the one in, you understand? Football in 2020 is extremely difficult. That's why you see a lot of small teams are picking up a lot of... It's difficult. Look at Sheriff went to the Bernabeu and they beat Real Madrid. Club Brugge played PSG off the park. You get what I'm saying? And there are so many... They've been so many... Look at Brentford, for example. We've talked about Brentford here, so... Football is extremely hard now. So I can't judge Xavi and say, oh, I'm not confident, you get, but... So what do you think about Xavi, and what do you think will happen going forward for Barcelona and Xavi?
Okay, I look at long-term. I don't look at short-term, because Xavi is young, and when he's coming, I'm actually seeing him like he's going to have a proper restructuring, like, let's start all over again. So, like I tweeted some days back, we're not expecting a miracle. Sap. No.
So how long? Realistically, how long is enough time?
We gave a lot of coaches the whole season to understand. We don't even have money to buy the players that Xavi would request for, if we are being serious. So number one, Xavi is going to use the players that are available. Two, he will need to wait for money to come before he start buying. So I think a whole season for Xavi to understand that, okay, this is what and what we need for restructuring, because this is restructuring. Messi is gone.
Well, it's like you're literally pulling the club, pulling everything down and starting again.
And if you got rid of this, means you are saying let's start all over again, because there's no savior anywhere. So Xavi coming is from the scratch, like we're going to start all over again. So whole season to understand, and even that whole season, unless money comes, if money does not come from nowhere, Xavi is not going to do miracles.
So if you're a Barcelona fan and you're listening to this, I always... Is it?
Sorry. Someone will ask a question like, if you're saying money won't come and we have to give... Why didn't we give Laporte time? Because since Messi is gone, our performance is going to drop. So why didn't we just cope with Koeman? We gave Koeman a whole season with Messi. He had the option of sticking to Luis Suarez. He had the option. Okay, let me manage Luis Suarez. But somehow, Luis Suarez was not in his plans. Ricky was not in his plans. And we're left with Griezmann, Messi. Okay. Messi was always there to deliver, right? Now he's gone. Let me just reply. Koeman had the opportunity to keep who he needs to keep to survive. Even if you take Messi out of Barcelona, if he had kept a finisher like Suarez in that Barcelona, I'm not sure he would struggle like this. Suarez went to Atletico. I know a lot of people don't like this, what I'm saying here. Suarez went to Atletico and somehow they won the league and he scored a lot of goals. Right, so I think Luis Suarez would have been able to help a bit. Look at us here. We don't have scorers.
See, let's ask. I want us to move away from Barcelona because I think we've analyzed this. We'll wait for Xavi and as a Barcelona. And this is what I want to say. I think this is the only thing, if you're a Barcelona fan and you're listening from anywhere in the world, because I have a lot of listeners from different parts of the world that listen, you have to exercise patience a lot. And let's ask the man that has been exercising patience for us now. So, Biloba, what do you have to say about Barcelona? Okay. And project for us, what do you think about Barcelona current situation?
Okay, just like Beck said, Barcelona are in a very precarious situation, and bringing in the manager right now won't solve all the crises. Honestly, it's going to be very difficult phase for Barcelona. I think one of the solutions is getting funds to acquire or to recruit top players. You understand, the crop of players Barcelona has right now cannot take them anywhere. You understand? So, you know, getting funds, you understand, is one thing, and hiring a manager is another thing. So I think if these two things can be sorted out, I think, you know, Barcelona will go back to where they've been before.
All right. We'll be watching. I hope, I'm scared. I hope the people at the top get decisions right, Laporta included. I hope, because right
exactly.
Now, we're at the point where we can't afford, because any mistake we make now is years is going to cost us to read. You understand what I'm saying? Exactly. Champions League is this week. I don't know when you'll be listening to this, but if you listen before our Champions League game, we play against Dynamo Kiev away. We have to win. If we don't win, it's looking like Super League. And for the life of me, I cannot watch my team play on Thursday. I won't. I won't do it. So whenever they do it, I'll see you guys again on Saturday. But it's been a pleasure talking with you guys. And Bex, you're not giving your top four. Okay, let's talk about Messi before we end this football segment and pay our dues and go to extra time. Let's talk about Messi's situation at PSG and the league. Should we be worried? Should we be worried? Because I think it's 5 games now. I know the standards are different for Messi and Ronaldo. So for Messi, should we be worried with his league one?
Well, Ronaldo went back to a club that he had before. It's easy to adapt, right? His first season at Juventus, he scored just 21 goals. And I think with 7 penalties or 10 penalties, right, or so. It's just 5 games. And he's not even... Messi hasn't played up to, like...
3 full games. I think it's just 2.
Three full games. Because it's only banter. What you see out there is only banter. Statistically, he hasn't played up to 3 full games, right? But because of banter, a lot of people just hop on it. Let's, you know. But all right. He hasn't played full games. So I'm the last person that will be worried about Messi. Messi knows what to do.
I'm second to last. Okay, so last question before we go to extra time, because I want to do a brief extra time. Toby Loba. Predict the Ballon d'Or top 3. Just predict it. I don't want us to have an argument. I just need to call the top 3.
Top 3, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I think Messi, Lewandowski, and Gini.
All right. What about you, Bex?
Messi, Lewandowski, Benzema.
All right. Be keeping an eye out for that one. I think I should give a prize to the person that gets it right. So if you listen and if you've been on the podcast before and you are listening and you get it right, you can hit me up and maybe we'll work something out. So guys, let's pay our dues.
All right.
Vibe with Edmond Norris.
So guys, like I said earlier on the podcast, this episode of the podcast is proudly sponsored by Reps Apparel. Reps Apparel on Twitter, Reps_Apparel on Instagram. And they deal in football matches for the different clubs. If you are tired of wearing GC and you want to wear a match to associate with your club, they are the ones you should go to. You get their designs are exquisite, out of this world, very soft and comfortable. When I got mine, I didn't put it off for 3 days. That's how comfortable it is. So yeah, you guys should check them. And they do delivery anywhere in the world. They do delivery. They deliver to Abuja, Lagos, Ibadan, Tokyo, China. Anyway, you pay for the delivery, dude, but check them out. I've dropped their podcast link. I've dropped their profile link on the podcast description. So check wherever it is you are listening and get your order now. Okay, so guys, extra time now. I want us to talk something very simple before, and I want you guys to introduce yourself to my guests, because my podcast guests like to know the people that I'm bringing on the pod. So just so they know you guys a little bit more. Firstly, Toby Loba, you go very quickly, like 2 minutes. Just tell us what you do and who you are.
Okay. My name is Toby Loba Saola, but you can call me Tobizon, which is my Twitter username. I'm an Arsenal fan, a passionate Arsenal fan. Basically, I am an online tutor, and also I teach in secondary schools. Of course, I think that's all for now. That's all I can say about me.
So you teach people online?
Yes, I do.
What do you teach?
English.
All right. So you guys, if you want an online tutor, you can hit him up. What's the social media handle? Twitter handle, please.
At Saola Toby Loba. At Saola _ Toby Loba.
All right. What about you, Bex?
Yeah, I'm Joshua Beku. Bex on Twitter. I talk football. And my social media handle is Joshua _ Ubeku. That's on Twitter. On Instagram, Joshua Ubeku.
All right, guys. You guys should give my podcast guests. You guys should go and follow them. If you are a listener and you are a Barcelona fan and you're not following Bex, or you are a Messi fan, you're not following Bex, then you are wrong, because Messi and he carries Barcelona.
That's so wrong.
You say?
You are so wrong. I don't
follow. All right. So you guys should follow them. Of course, I'm Edmond Doris. You can follow me. I'm a digital marketer. I'm a content creator. If you want to promote yourself, you want to promote your business, you want to manage people's page to online, and if you want to create content for your brand, for your business, you can hit me up, and we can. Apart from being a podcaster, these are some of the things. And I'm also a listener. If you are my podcast listener and you want to ever talk about something, anything, I will give you my listening. Yes, if you listen and share my podcast. So guys, I want to do a podcast episode this Friday. I'm going to do solo interviews, but the way I do my podcast, solo interviews with like 5 different girls. And I want to ask them, I'll do girls for this week and boys for the upper week. So you guys should keep an eye out for that one. But we want to talk red flags to look out for in 2021. So Bex, give us some tips, give us some red flags to look out for in 2021 in relationship.
Oh, relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The red flag I would point out is a major red flag is girls are like clubbing, like outings, unnecessary outings. My major red flag, like unnecessary outings.
Well, Mala will not come and meet you inside your house, that bit.
No, I understand, but listen, too much of everything is bad.
True.
Let's be factual. Some people in this, see, I've met a lot of girls, like, come on, it disgusts me for how much someone wants to be outside. Come on, man.
We're outside.
I mean,
red flags to be loved, but what are your own red flags?
Okay, for me, I think for me, the first thing that turns me off in anybody, not just a girl, is poor communication skills. If you cannot communicate, there's no way we are going to be friends. You understand? Of course, you know, in relationship, communication matters. And if you don't communicate, things might get wrong. Then also, I think entitlement mentality.
Lack of communication leaves rooms for assumptions. And the mind is a never-ending cycle of assumption. So if you are not communicating, then there's a problem, to be honest. I agree with that.
Then also entitlement mentality for me. If you're entitled, you have no business with me, honestly.
Entitled in what way now?
Okay, entitlement mentality in the sense that, okay, maybe for example, we are probably good friends and you always feel like, yes, you're entitled to everything I have, you're entitled to my you're entitled to my emotions, you're entitled to everything that goes on around me. Fine. You know, it's sometimes we human beings we are always entitled, but then it becomes very disgusting when you overdo it, you understand?
All right, guys. It's been a pleasure talking with you guys. And you guys, if you're listening, if you subscribe so you don't miss the episode coming out. It's going to come out on Friday. I will five different girls, and let us know what to what not to, to look out for? Because guys, there are a lot of single people, and I see a lot of people going into like bad relationships. Like it's so clear from the start. Like every, but they can see it. I don't know. So I think that's what's moving me to just do so. People, because there's power in listening to other people talk about things. That's why I think podcast is very powerful, because it just puts a lot of things in perspective. So you guys should not be sleeping on my general episode though. So Bex, any last words before we end the podcast? It's been so much fun talking with you.
I just want to tell people that at least personal. A lot of people judge me so much because of a Bob banter. I'm an adorable person. I'm a great individual, you know. And also people should give your lives to Christ. Oh, have a great
All right, guys. God bless you.
All right.
So guys, you guys should give your life to Christ. You guys hear what they say. So please don't forget to follow them on Instagram or Twitter anyway, so you can enjoy football. They are the ones that are going to make football really enjoyable for you. Before my announcement, I just heard that Tottenham has sacked their manager Nuno Espirito Santo, the former Wolves manager, and it looks like they are going for Spurs. So Ole, Ronaldo saves Ole, and then Tottenham sacked their manager. So literally, Ole has sacked their manager. It's crazy. Well, you see why you guys should subscribe, because this is the podcast where you're going to be getting all the premium gist and all the premium news on football and also the general episode. You guys should not sleep on the general episodes. Last week, I got two of my female friends and we talked about NYC. I know we can debate on if NYC should be scrapped and all that, but at the end of the day, it's not up to us. So what I did was, for people that are yet to save, because I know there are a lot of people that haven't saved yet, the episode was basically how you can make... I named the NYC hack and Santa in the bottom. So it's a hack to NYC. For people that are here to serve, you can literally know how to make the most out of the time from it. And then if you have saved, you can still listen to it. It's good vibes. It will make you laugh, because we shared some very funny NYC stories that will make you reminisce. So guys, don't forget, you can sponsor the podcast. If you want to advertise on the podcast, I can help you advertise on the podcast. The numbers are growing. Bring your business, bring your brand, bring your friends' business. Let them hit me up at Edmundoris on Twitter or at Edmundoris on Instagram. What I do is I'm a digital marketer, I'm a content creator, I'm a social media marketer. Apart from being a podcaster and a host and a listener, like I said, I also market for people online, and I can market for you on the podcast. So if you want to promote your business, anything, you see, I can promote your business on the podcast to my listeners and to my Twitter audience as well. And I'm also, we're going with the podcast will be having a website soon, so you guys should keep an eye out for that. And a lot of people say they don't get to listen to some episodes because they are not notified when I publish a new episode, especially those that are not on social media. So to combat that, I've come out with an email list. So if you are listening, go and subscribe on my email list. It's going to be on my pinned tweet. When you check my pinned tweet, you'll see it, where you can put your email, so that once I publish an episode like I'm doing this Monday, I send it directly to your mail. So there's no excuse this time, you get. I want more people to keep listening. And also, if you want to sponsor the podcast, there's a link on my Linktree profile. It's on my Twitter page at Edmundoris, on my Instagram page, or you can check the podcast description there. There's just a link, it's Paystack, and it's secure, it's safe. You understand? If you like what I'm doing, if you also want to hear something about anything on the podcast, if you want to hear any type of topic on the podcast, you can hit me up and we can work something out as well. And the general episode coming out this week, red flags, guys. You know, I see that a lot of people going into bad relationships. It's very glaring to everybody else apart from the person there. So I just want to do an episode like that. So I'm going to get the perspective of 5 different girls, and upper week I get the perspective of 5 different boys. So I'll see you guys again next week, and God bless you and happy new month.
Thank you for vibing with Edmund Uris. Don't forget to rate, review, and share. Edmund Uris.